And as we read from the scripture this morning, Romans chapter 6, and we'll start again with verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? For do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we return once more after almost a month to this very wonderful sixth chapter of Paul's epistle to the Romans. And since it has been a long time, I think it would be good for us to take a little while to remind ourselves of where we are and where we've come. We've seen that this sixth chapter can be divided very readily into two sections. The first section goes from verse 1 down to verse 14. The second section goes from verse 15 down to verse 23. And we've been looking at the first section all along for several weeks now. And actually, we just finished the first section, looked at verse 14 last time that I spoke out of this. And in this first section, we've seen that Paul states the problem in verse 1. The problem is this. It sounds like if salvation is really by grace, I mean when you really get a hold of the fact that salvation is solely and completely by grace and it does not depend upon you in one iota, your goodness, you're not saved because of anything that you are, but you're saved because of who Christ is and what he's done. When you really get a hold of salvation by grace, the first thing that pops into your mind, or often that pops into your mind, is, well, if it's really that free, well, then why not continue in sin that grace might increase? And that is the objection that comes up by the legalist. He doesn't like the idea of salvation by grace. He's trying to be good because he has to. He's trying to earn salvation. And he resents the fact that he can't live in sin like the rest of the world. And he doesn't like the idea of this prodigal son just being taken into the kingdom and given everything instantly. This fellow that's not good like he is or like he thinks he is. And so there's the objection of the legalist, and then there's also the perversion of Paul's teaching by the libertine. He likes the idea, I'm saved by grace, I can just go ahead and live in sin. And there are multitudes of people in our day that have taken the gospel of grace, and that's what they come out with. Well, we're saved by grace, so sin's no big deal. And whether they say it exactly in those words or not, that's their philosophy. That if because of grace, you don't have to worry about sin. It's no big deal. Just go ahead. Live in sin. And so let us continue in sin that grace might abound. And that is the problem that Paul raises in verse 1. And he answers it in verse 2 down to verse 14. Actually, he answers it in verse 2. He gives his whole answer in verse 2. And his answer is along these lines. He says, God forbid, may it never be. That's impossible. It's impossible that a Christian should live in sin. Why is it impossible? Because something has happened to him. Something has happened to every Christian. What is it that has happened to the Christian? Well, he has died to sin. So he says it's an impossibility to talk about a Christian continuing in sin because if you're a Christian, you have died to sin. That's Paul's basic answer. Now, this is where the problems start. Because what does it mean to say that we died to sin? What does it mean, we died to sin? Paul obviously means that this is to be taken as a statement of fact. He presents it as a fact. We died to sin. And down in verse 11, he says, consider yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God. He says it again and said in different ways down through here. So he's presenting this as a fact. And right here is where so many Christians go wrong in their understanding of Romans 6. They think that when Paul says that we're dead to sin, what he means is that we're not affected by sin anymore. And they know that that's not really true. I mean, they know they are affected by sin. So when they get down to verse 11, they basically, this is what they come out with. Paul is saying, pretend that you're dead to sin, even though you know that you're not. Pretend that you're not affected by sin anymore, even though you know that you still are affected by sin. That's what most people think. Pretend. And so you look at this and you say, well, he's saying that I'm not affected by sin anymore. I know that I am, but I'm supposed to pretend that I'm not. Isn't that true? That's what is often, and I don't know, it depends on your teaching, but some of you have probably been taught this, is something like this is said. Well, positionally, we're dead to sin. What's that mean? Positional truth. How many of you have been taught positional truth? Yeah, there's some people that have been taught positionally. You've heard that language. And I've heard any time you bring up any of these things, somebody will say, well, that's a positional truth. Now, what's that boil down to? Well, positional truth is kind of a make-believe, never-never land where something is supposedly true somewhere up there, but it doesn't really affect anything down here in the real world. That's what it really boils down to. And so people take that position. Now, what we've been trying to see in the past weeks is that the real problem lies in the meaning of this term, die to. What does Paul mean when he says that we have died to sin? What does it mean that the Christian has died to sin or is dead to sin? Well, first thing we know right off, and that is he cannot mean that we're no longer affected by sin. How do I know that that's not what he means? Well, because it's not true. He cannot be telling us, try to believe a lie, pretend that this lies. That cannot be what he's saying. He's talking about something that's really true. And so, what does he mean when he says that we died to sin? What does it really mean? Well, before we review the answer to that, I just want to remind you of something else Paul says. He not only says that we have died to sin, but as we get over here a little bit further, we're going to find out that he says we died to the law also. Let's look at it in chapter 7 and verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law. Now, whatever he means by died to sin, he means something parallel when he says we died to the law. And there's another passage in Galatians 2:19, he says, through the law, I died to the law, that I might live to God. So you've got to die to the law in order to live to God. And you've got to die to sin in order to live to God. That's what he says in verse 11. Consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. Now there's something else that he says we're dead to. He says we're dead to the world. You remember that verse in Galatians 6? Galatians 6, verse 14. He says, may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. How's it go? Through whom the world was crucified to me and I to the world. So he says we've been crucified to the world. We've died to the world. So there it is again. In the death of Christ, I was crucified to the world. I died to it. Now, what's he mean? We died to law, we died to sin, we died to the world. They all mean the same thing, you see. They all have to do with the same concept. What's it mean, I died to the world, I died to the law, I died to sin? Well, he tells us in verse 10 of chapter 6. And he tells us by bringing out what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's he say about that? He says concerning Christ, the death that he died, he died to sin. There it is again. He died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. So Christ died to sin and he lives to God. Now, how in the world did Christ die to sin? He never was a sinner. But he says that in his death, he died to sin. And when was there ever a time that he wasn't alive to God? But he says in his resurrection now he lives to God. See what he's saying? What's he mean by die to and live to? Well, Christ died to sin when he died in that he passed out of this realm of sin. He passed out of this world where sin reigns. And he passed out of that world and he now lives to God in that he is alive in the heavenly places and he's living to God. You see that? When he says died to, he's talking about passing out of the realm of. And when he says live to, he's talking about passing into the realm of. He died to sin when he died. He lives in this new realm. He's alive unto God. Now in the very next verse he says, verse 11, Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. The same way Christ died to it when he passed out of this realm. So what's it mean that I'm dead to sin? What am I supposed to gather from this? Well, just this. I have passed out of this realm, one realm, and I've passed into another realm. The realm that I've passed out of is the realm where sin reigns. The realm that I've passed into is the realm where grace reigns. Over here, sin is my master, and I've got to do what it tells me, and I'm enslaved to it. Over here, grace reigns and rules, and grace is going to guarantee that sin will not reign over my life in this realm. And so I passed into a different realm. Now, we saw this back in chapter 5, where Paul starts to talk about the two realms. And there's only two realms. There's the realm of Adam, and there's the realm of Christ. And all these other things belong to those realms. If you are in Adam, now this is not, again, it's not some never-never land. This is real. It's so real. The guy who is in Adam, that is the natural man, he doesn't have anything to do with this realm of Christ and the Spirit. He's not in that realm. All he lives on is the fleshly plane. And in Adam, there is, we saw in chapter 5, there's sin, there's condemnation, there's death. All those things. Death reigns. Sin reigns. When you become a Christian, you're put in Christ. You live now in the spiritual realm. You're no longer in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. And what's it say in Colossians? It even says you're no longer in this world anymore. It says you've died with Christ to these elementary things of the world. Why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to all these different decrees? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. You say, he says, why, as if you were living in the world, you're not anymore. Where are you? You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You're living in the spiritual realm. You've died to the world. You're alive unto God. You see how it all, the same statements over and over in different ways. Once you understand that, you can understand things that Paul says in different places, clear off in other books of the Bible, you see. And when he says things like what he says in verse 14, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. You're out of that realm, you're in this realm. You've died to the world. You've been crucified to the world. You're alive in the heavenly realm. You died to sin. You're alive unto God. Now, what he's talking about then when he says that we've died to these things is just that we have passed out of that realm and we're alive in a new realm. Now, I have a summary of all this in Adam and in Christ. And I realized at some point in here what I really needed was to have some kind of a handout, or I need to have it put on a board. But just listen to it anyway. Now, there's verses for every one of these. We talked about sin in the realm of Adam. And what's over here? Righteousness in the realm of Christ. Condemnation in Adam, justification in Christ. Death in Adam, life in Christ. So all of those we've talked about. Flesh. This is the realm of the flesh when you're in Adam. Over here is Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. You're not in the flesh, he says in chapter 8, but in the Spirit. That's the realm you're in now. Over here is the realm of the world. Over here is the realm of the heavenlies. You have died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. You're seated with Him in the heavenly places. Over here is the realm of the curse. Over here is the realm of blessing. This man is a blessed man. He's justified. This man is under a curse. Here is the realm of bondage. Paul says we've died to that by which we were bound. We're in bondage over here. But he says now, if you're in the Spirit, there's where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So bondage, liberty. Over here, sin reigns. Romans 5:21, sin reigned unto death. Over here, grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. Over here, we're under sin. Romans 3:9, we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. He doesn't just say they're sinners. They're under sin. But over here, you get over here, under grace. See, the opposite. Over here, slaves to sin. Over here, slaves to righteousness. We're going to get to that in the last half of chapter 6. Over here, death reigns. Over here, we reign in life. Over here, darkness. Over here, light. Remember, he's translated us out of the what? Kingdom of darkness. The domain of darkness. Satan rules over here. All right, he's translated you out of the domain of darkness and into the kingdom of his beloved Son. You see these two kings? There are kingdoms and there are kings in these kingdoms. And you were in one kingdom, now you're in another kingdom. That's what he's saying. And then finally, he says, from the dominion of Satan to the kingdom of God. From darkness to light. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So the thinking there, two realms. And every person is either in this one or in this one. You cannot be in both of them. You're either in the flesh or you're in the spirit. Now we'll look at this, Lord willing, when we get to chapter 8. But sometimes Christians, you know, they act impulsively or something and say, well, I kind of got in the flesh. That's impossible. You can no more temporarily get in the flesh than you can temporarily become unregenerate. You might act in a fleshly way, but you can't get in the flesh again because you're not in the flesh. You're in the spirit. See? We've passed from one realm to another. Well, verse 11 then doesn't mean pretend that sin no longer affects you. It means realize and count upon the fact that you are no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer under its dominion and under its reign. Sin no longer fits you. Sin no longer is you. And you're no longer its slave. And there's a good parallel to this in Psalm 37. It talks about the wicked man. And this is what it says. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. The wicked man that we once were died in the death of our old man. And we passed out of that realm, and you look for him there, and he's not there anymore. And the people that are used to seeing him there, they can't figure it out. They're surprised that you're not there anymore. Let me give you the verse. 1 Peter 4. It says, the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousals, drinking parties, and abominable heresies. And in all this, they're surprised that you do not run with them into the same excess of dissipation, and they malign you. They can't figure out why you're not there. They look for the wicked man. His place knows him no more. And the reason that's given for it is the two verses that precede. He says, he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. He who has died, you see, passed out of that realm, he ceased from sin. So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. So even Peter talks about this thing of the two realms. Well, that's Paul's basic answer. The problem is posed in verse 1. The answer is, it's impossible. How could a Christian continue in sin if he's passed out of the realm where sin reigns and into the realm where grace reigns? How could a Christian continue in sin if he's united with Christ and partaker of his resurrection life? How is he going to go on living like a child of the devil? You see, it's impossible. So his answer is not a threat. You know, don't do this or this, but his answer is an assurance, and that is, it's impossible for somebody who's a partaker of Christ to live like a child of the devil. They've got a new nature after all. They're a new person. They're alive in a new realm. You see, that's his answer. All right. Well, that's verses 1 to 14. Now, in the little time that we have left here, I want us to at least begin this new section that starts at verse 15. Notice what Paul does here in verse 15. He repeats the problem, but he repeats it in a little different way. Verse 15, what then? That's the same way we started out, you remember. What shall we say then, back in verse 1? What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be. Now, same thing brought up again, and he's going to answer it again, but he states it, this is a little bit different. Verse 1 was the question about continuing in sin that grace might increase. So it had to do with grace. Verse 15, though, has to do with continuing in sin. Now, when he says, what then shall we sin? He means go on living in sin. Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? So now there's another question here. Paul says that we are not under law, We're under grace. We've passed out of the realm of law. The law is no longer hanging over your head trying to get you to do things you don't want to do. And you're alive in a different realm now. He says, well, then, if that's the case, if we're not under law, might as well go ahead and sin. So he states the same, very similar problem in just a little different way. And then he goes about answering it in the verses that follow. Now, what is his answer? Well, his answer, again, is parallel to what he said before, but it's not identical. Verse 16. May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience? Now, this is the part to get. You are the slaves of the one whom you obey. That's the basic sentence. You're slaves of the one whom you obey. Either of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You are slaves of the one whom you obey. What is Paul saying? Well, I think you could reword it like this. The objector says, why not just sin if we're not under the law but under grace? And Paul's answer is this. Look, the proof as to which realm you are in is how you live and who you really are the slaves of. That tells which realm you're really in. If you give yourself to sin, you just prove that you're still back here under the law and you're still back here in bondage to sin. So your life, not what you say, but what you do and the life that you live displays which realm you belong to. So he says, look, we have died to sin, we've died to law, we've passed over here into this new realm. And the objector comes along and says, well, if you're over here in this new realm and you're not under law anymore, might as well sin. He says, no, if you give yourself to sin, all you've proved is you're still back here. Because what happened? How did we pass out from the realm of law? Well, the law is no longer over us, telling us to do stuff that we hate. But the law has been put on the inside of us, making us want to do the things that are right. And so if a guy is yielding himself to sin, he just proves that he doesn't know what Paul's talking about. He's still back over here. You see, it's really the same answer, but it's from a different angle. He's saying, if you are a new creation, if you are a new man alive in a new realm, it shows in your life and in your actions. He will not have anything to do with this theoretical idea, you know, well, I'm a Christian, but I live the same way I always did. That's the whole thing he's saying. It's impossible. It doesn't ever happen. And beloved, if we could get hold of this, it is not, if some men are in Christ, they're new creatures. That is not what the Bible says. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. You see the old realm? Old things passed away. All things have become new. And so if a man claims to be in Christ and he's not a new creation, he's a liar. And the truth is not in him. If a man claims to have been set free from the reign of sin and been brought into the reign of grace and he still lives in sin, he's just a liar. He's still back in that old realm, no matter what he says to himself. See, that's the test. And remember how Jesus put it? He says, everyone who practices sin is the slave of sin. He's back in this realm. Everyone who practices sin is the slave of sin. And you know that the slave does not remain in the house forever. That's, in other words, this guy's not, he does not have eternal life if he lives in sin. He doesn't have it. Now Jesus says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You'll be over here in this realm. See how clear that is? There's two. No man can serve two masters. That's the same thing Paul's saying here. No man can serve two masters. You're going to have one or the other. If sin is your master, you're still over here. And so the test is not what you say. The test is the reality of your life. Where are you living? And anybody that says, well, I'm under grace now. I'm not under the law anymore. I can go ahead and sin. Anybody that talks like that is still back over here under the law and under the power of sin. That's his basic answer here. Now, just one more thing before we close. Notice how he words it here in verse 16. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are the slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? Now, the first half of that is pretty easy to see. Sin leads to death. And when we were in this realm of sin, death reigned, and there's sin, condemnation, and death. But look at the other half of it. You think he'd say, or of obedience leading to life. But he doesn't say that. He says obedience leading to righteousness. Why? Because if he said obedience leading to life, he's teaching salvation by works. It's not that our obedience causes us to have eternal life. He tells us the gift of God is eternal life. You don't get life through obedience. But what happens is when you're transferred over into this realm, you begin to walk with God, you begin to obey, and you begin to experience and enter into, in your life, more and more righteousness. Obedience leading to righteousness. And so for the Christian, there's this, for the lost man, there's this pattern of sin going down to death. For the Christian, there's this pattern of obedience and becoming more righteous in your life and in your practice. Well, Lord willing, we'll go on. Verse 17 is a wonderful verse. Thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Every Christian is freed from sin and enslaved to righteousness. And Lord willing, we'll look at that next time. Anything to ask or share or say on this that we've looked at? Well, normally, he says, of sin leading to death. Now, normally, you'd think the opposite of that would be obedience leading to life. But eternal life is not something that obedience lead. I mean, we don't get eternal life because of obedience. That's a gift. Obedience, in the Christian life, obedience leads to righteousness. That is, in our lives, practical righteousness and the outworking of becoming more like Christ. What's that? Right, but right. The obedience is a result of being a new person. But there is in the Christian life, there is a thing of obeying God, walking with God, and becoming more like Christ. It's a process. And actually seeing righteousness worked out in our lives. Is this thing of the two realms clear? I mean, it ought to be. It's amazing how clear this is in Scripture. I mean, and it explains so much, so many obscure statements that Paul makes in different places. He's talking about through our union with Christ, we passed out of this old realm and into this new realm by being united with Christ. And that's what he means when he says we were crucified with him. Our old man was crucified with him. That is, the old me, the person that I used to be, is gone. The old man is not still alive, kicking and struggling on the cross. He's not hiding inside of us. He's gone. The old you, the person that you used to be, is dead and gone. You never will be that person again. We still have the flesh to contend with, but the flesh is not who we really are in our innermost being. And we don't have to walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You get in chapter 8, he'll get to that. He says, you're not under obligation to the flesh. You don't owe it anything. We're under obligation to the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. So we've passed out of that realm. So he'll say, in the death of Christ, what happens what happened was I died to sin. When I entered into union with Him, I entered into His resurrection life. I'm alive in a new realm. I'm not in that realm anymore. And through the death of Christ and His crucifixion, I died to the world. I passed out of that realm of the world. Jesus said that. You're not of the world. If you were of the world would love its own, but you're not anymore. See, so we've passed out of that realm. The world doesn't know us anymore because it didn't know Him. The world can't figure you out. It doesn't know what makes you tick because you're not there anymore. You're not part of that anymore. You see that? You've passed out of that, and that happens immediately when you become a Christian. All of a sudden, nobody knows you anymore of all the people that you used to know. I remember right after I became a Christian, I was 15 at the time, and I came back after the summer. I came back to all my old high school friends, and we sat around the campfire talking. And in a very short time, the subject got on the Lord because I was a new creation. And everybody kind of sits there with their mouth open saying, what happened? This guy's, something happened to him. You know, he's passed out of that realm. They didn't know to say it, but that's what they were saying. This, I don't know you anymore. Isn't that an amazing thing? We're alive in a new world. And all Christians in that new world sense, you know, that they've got communion and union with all these other people that have passed out of that old world and don't fit there anymore. And they do fit here now. We know that we've passed from death, there's this realm, from death to life because we love the brethren. Well, I think he says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So I think what it is it's in those situations we failed to walk in the Spirit and we allowed sin to reign in our mortal body. Now he says you don't have to. Do not allow sin to reign in your mortal body. But see, flesh is always ready to do, you know, the flesh and we can't say, well, that's not me in the sense that I'm not responsible for it, but we can say that that's not who I really am. That's not what I really want. And I don't have to do that. I don't have to be that. And that's not who I will be a million years from now or 1,000 years from now.
Is there a difference then when you talk about being taken out of the realm of the flesh and the Spirit between that realm of the flesh and our mortal body when you talk about the flesh?
Well, right. I think it's actually, he's talking about the same thing, but it's the idea that the natural man is in the flesh. That is, this is all there is to him. He doesn't have any other dimension. He's not in the realm of the spiritual, that is, capital S, Holy Spirit. He's not alive to God. And so he lives only in the realm of the fleshly. And it's not necessarily things that are wrong. I mean, but he lives in the realm. He lives in the realm of computers and ball games and sports and makeup and proms and, you know, pick on the women a little bit. But see, none of those things are wrong in themselves. Or, you know, many of them are not wrong in themselves. Some things, you could think of other things associated with the flesh that are wrong. But the problem is that this man, he exists in that realm only. He doesn't have anything else. That's his realm. And Paul says in chapter 8 that the mind set on the flesh is death. Now, even all these good things. I mean, I like computers, so you start to think about that. The mind set on the computers, yeah, they're great. They're fine. You like all this and that and the other. You set your mind on that, you're going to die. The end of even the best things is death in this realm because God's left out of the picture and he is life. So the man that's in the flesh, he's characterized, He says their God is their appetite. They mind earthly things. But he says our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we live. We live in the heavenly realm. That's where we belong. That's where our citizenship is. And the mind of the Spirit, they that are in the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. It just happens. And the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Well, let's be dismissed.